Hey everyone, it's your boy Coy. Today is Thursday, so happy Friday Eve. We're motoring our way to the weekend. This is CNN 10. We have an awesome show for you today, so without further ado, let's do what we do. We start today with the latest news from the midterm elections. Election day is over, but key races remain uncalled. In the Senate, the balance of power rests in the hands of a few swing states. And one critical Senate race, the one in Georgia, is now projected to go to a runoff. Why? Because neither the incumbent, Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock, nor Republican challenger Herschel Walker had the required 50% plus one vote to win the election outright. It's a super close race that now won't be decided until December 6th. But there are actually three states that will now determine which party wins control of the Senate for the rest of this term: Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And in the House of Representative elections, projections show that while Democrats had a stronger than expected showing, they will lose seats, and Republicans remain cautiously optimistic about winning control of the House. Both of these chambers were still up for grabs when we produced this show. Head to CNN.com for the latest election results. 10-second trivia. What's occurring when the Earth passes directly between the Sun and the Moon, casting a shadow on the Moon? Winter solstice, summer equinox, solar eclipse, or lunar eclipse? The answer here is lunar eclipse, but not all eclipses are created equal.
A lunar eclipse is when the Moon passes through the Earth's shadow. This only occurs during a full moon. Two factors decide which of three possible eclipses the Moon will experience: the tilt of the Moon's orbit around the Earth, and which of the Earth's two shadows the Moon falls behind. The Earth's darker inner shadow is known as the umbra, and the lighter outer one is called the penumbra. The penumbral eclipse is when the Moon passes through, you guessed it, just the penumbra. NASA says this type of eclipse is so subtle that if you didn't know it was happening, you might not even notice it. A partial eclipse is when the Moon only gets covered by part of the Earth's umbra, so only part of it is shaded in darkness by the Earth. A partial eclipse happens at least twice a year. And then there's the big one, the total lunar eclipse. These are rare, often separated by years, and require the Moon, Earth, and Sun to be in perfect alignment. But don't think this blacks out the Moon. As the Moon shifts deeper into the umbra, it takes on a red hue, which is sometimes called a blood moon. The Moon turns red because the atmosphere is filtering out color at the opposite end of the visible spectrum, the blue light. The short wavelengths of blue don't travel as far as the long red wavelengths, so they scatter before reaching our eyes, leaving behind the red glow. Not everyone on Earth can see a lunar eclipse at the same time. You'll need to be in an area facing the Moon during the moments it's shaded by Earth. Unlike a solar eclipse, you don't need any special equipment to enjoy a lunar eclipse. They're safe to watch at any stage, although a pair of binoculars might make it more fun.
This week, 2022 had the second full lunar eclipse of the year. On Tuesday, the Moon turned a coppery shade of red, also known as a blood moon. This happened when the entire Moon was in the Earth's shadow. Check out this stunning imagery. By the way, the next total lunar eclipse won't happen until March 14th of 2025. Be sure to mark your calendars. Unlike a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse can be enjoyed from anywhere in the world that the Moon is present during the night. All right, we have an extra mini quiz for you today. Environmentalists are battling a dangerous and invasive species in the waters of the Gulf of Mexico, upsetting the balance of the ecosystem there. Any guesses? Maybe it's a type of shark? No, it's not. Maybe jellyfish? Nope, not it either. A type of algae? No. Humans? No. It's actually something you may have seen swimming in an aquarium. We're talking about lionfish. They're taking over. But experts may have developed a system to help contain the lionfish population and in turn created an opportunity for local restaurants and your belly.
These eco-warriors are heading into an unusual battle. The enemy, a dangerous and invasive species that is destroying the local habitat.
It's caused a pretty major problem here in Western Atlantic waters.
Leading the charge is Alex Fogg, a marine biologist and conservationist for Destin, Fort Walton Beach in the Florida Panhandle. He's known as the lionfish guy around these parts.
Lionfish is such a passion to what I do in my everyday life.
Lionfish are native to the South Pacific and Indian Ocean. They were first detected along the Florida coast in the mid-1980s, more than 10,000 miles from home.
There's a lot of theories exactly how they came to be, but most likely option was that lionfish were in the aquarium trade and ended up being released by a pet owner.
Over the years, the population has multiplied and is wreaking havoc.
If you put something into the ecosystem that's not supposed to be there, and they're eating the same food as some of your native species, there's competition there. Where there's grazers, like your parrotfish. If lionfish are preying on parrotfish, those parrotfish are no longer keeping the reefs clean. And a lot of times the algae can overtake the reef and cause a bunch of coral death.
To make matters worse, lionfish have no predators in these western waters.
It comes down to something else besides predators to take charge and keep these fish under control, and that's us, divers.
All right, we're in neutral.
Go ahead.
There may be fishermen out there that would have never really considered themselves conservationists, but this is something where they can go diving, they can go harvest a fish and help the ecosystem in the process.
They have to be careful, though. Those spines along their back and sides, they're venomous.
You aren't going to die, but you may shed a tear or two.
To keep their hands safe, divers use a long spear to catch the lionfish and a contraption called a zookeeper to contain them.
It's essentially a plastic tube that allows you to put the lionfish into it and prevents the spines from poking out and potentially stinging you. You want to make sure that you're not going to get stung.
The good news, lionfish happen to taste good and have become somewhat of a delicacy in upscale restaurants along the coast, like G.W. Finn's in New Orleans, where this has become a story of eat 'em to beat 'em. The restaurant works directly with the spear fishermen, who supply their lionfish. It's good for business and good for the environment. Crucially, their methods avoid bycatch and target the enemy.
When you run a net through the water, you really never know exactly what you're pulling up. When it comes to these spear fishermen, they are only harvesting exactly the fish that we're looking for and nothing else. Sourcing is probably the most important thing we do to make sure we know who, when, where, and how all of our fish was caught.
Understanding why is important too. If the lionfish population spirals out of control, it could eat many of the species the restaurant is used to having on its menu.
Really, the only way to incentivize people to get out there and eradicate these and catch as many as they can is to create a demand in a market for them. Then, boom, you know, you'll have a lot more people out there hunting for lionfish.
The goal is to control the lionfish population, not eliminate it.
So lionfish will really always be here. It's just where they're going to find their place in the ecosystem and in the food web.
And for today's 10 out of 10, a new study says that octopuses like to throw things at each other when they're irritated. Check this out. Researchers in the new study released Wednesday observed 10 octopuses in Jervis Bay, Australia. Typically solitary creatures, the octopuses here live in super tight quarters because of the abundance of food there and the close proximity of their dens. Scientists said that the octopuses appeared to deliberately launch silt and even shells at nearby neighbors by using a jet of water from a funnel at the front of their bodies. If intentional, these octopuses would join a very few number of other species known to throw things at each other, including, of course, humans. Now, we want to thank all of you who are throwing us some love on our CNN 10 YouTube channel. We're going to throw it right back at you. Special shout out now to Medicine Crow Middle School in Billings, Montana, leaving you now with a Thursday thought. In 2019, a blind high school wrestler named Jay Spencer became Alabama state champ. Moments after stepping off the mat, exhausted in victory, Jay said, "Don't let what anyone thinks about you change how you think. As long as you believe you can do something, then you can." I'm Coy, and this is CNN 10.